Father, as always, we thank you because whenever we hear your word, it brings us understanding. It also gives light in our hearts. And we thank you for another opportunity around your word this morning and this afternoon. For anyone listening in, may that light shine in our hearts. And may we receive understanding from the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Amen. The crooked made straight. The reason I'm doing this again is because people who missed the room yesterday tried to listen in, but the replay was all messed up. You know, so let's hope we can get it right today. Not, I don't think it was anything that we did, but there was a glitch. Anyway, one of the first things that I want to say as part of this review, basically, is, you know, to show how or to explain how the Lord wants to straighten out the things that are crooked. You know, if we want to travel from point A to point B, the shortest path would be a straight line. But most of the times, our path will be crooked, go up and down, you go backwards, so forwards a little bit, and so forth. You know, that's not what God intends for us to do. You're going where you're going, you go straight there. And meandering around all of that, sometimes because of lack of wisdom, sometimes because of the enemy pushing against us, and so on and so forth, and challenges and tests along the way, you know. But, you know, the shortest path between where you are right now and where you need to get to, which is a straight line, goes through the Word of God. Talked about that. The Word of God, when we see what God has promised, we are persuaded of it, we embrace it, we confess it. That's my faith specs, those of you who may remember that. And you go straight from where you are. It allows you to go straight from where you are to where you need to get to. The angels of the Lord, always hearkening to the voice of his word. So we're told in Psalm 103:20. So when you speak and declare that word, then they go into action. But what it is really, what is the crookedness all about? Well, even from the beginning, we see that when God made the heaven and the earth, you know, it was without form and was void. Chaos all over the place. And when the Holy Spirit began to move, began to bring order out of that chaos. And we also talked about, you know, the devil himself listens in. You know, so when he gets a hold of what you're trying to do and what the Lord is trying to do in your life, then he will try to foul it up. You know, so he always tries to bring distractions and bring a kind of derailment, discouragement, even fear of the unknown, fear of the future, and all of that, that makes it impossible or sometimes difficult for people to go on a straight path. But the Bible says, make straight paths for your feet. You know, so that's what we want us to get out of this lesson. How do we make straight paths for our feet? Well, it takes the Lord to straighten out the crooked places. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 2 and 3. I'm going to start giving the scriptures that we looked at yesterday for this review. Isaiah 45 verse 2 talks about the Lord promising to make straight the crooked places. Now, There are many things that may be crooked in our lives, crooked for many reasons, you know, but God gives us assurance that he is able to help us to straighten those things out. I will go before thee, Isaiah 45:2, make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will even give you treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret place. Now, this is deep secret. Someday I will get to that. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. And here's again what he says in Isaiah 42:16. I'm just going to go through these scriptures quickly. Isaiah 42:16, he says, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Now, this will be straight paths. God doesn't take us through anything crooked. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Now, these things will I do unto them and will not forsake them. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12:12, we'll find out that, well, you know, we have a role to play in this as well. You know, the role that we need to play is lift up the hands which hang down and confirm the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. How do you make straight paths for your feet? Well, you know, one, you've got to look into the perfect law of liberty, because that guiding light comes from the Word of God. And it has the ability to take you on a straight course rather than wandering or meandering through the wilderness. But sometimes when things are already crooked, then we need to turn it to the Lord to make it straight. You know, and he is able to do that as well. In the book of Isaiah 43:19, he talks about things that he can do even when we think it's not possible. Usually, people can't find a way in the wilderness because they are lost. But the Lord said, look, I will do a new thing and it shall spring forth. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And when you think that there is no way, the Lord said, I can make even a way there. Yeah. In the book of Ezekiel 37, we see the Lord engaging the prophet Ezekiel and asking him about the dry bones that have been dead for many years, from dead folks for many years. God asking him, can these bones live again? And he said, well, I don't know, but thou knowest, Lord. And the Lord said to him, well, not only can these bones live again, but you will cause them to live again. I will put my words in your mouth. And you will do as directed by my spirit. Now, we also brought out the fact that we've got to do as he says. You know, and when you do as he says, Ezekiel said, then I prophesied as I was commanded and instructed. And the Lord gave him instruction to prophesy upon the bones. So look on the bones and prophesy upon them. And then look to the winds and prophesy to the winds, different instructions. But when he did it accordingly as he was instructed, there was a mighty shaking that came apart. We talked about God using what is already in your hands. Hallelujah. He asked Moses at the Red Sea, and everybody was grumbling and complaining, why did you bring us out here to kill us? You should have left us in Egypt. Well, there are no graves there. You know, and Pharaoh charging down behind them. The Red Sea in front of them. Nowhere to go. a corner. But God said to Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses looked at his hand and remembered the rod. That was a rod of power that God had given him from the beginning of his engagement. When the Lord engaged him and empowered him, gave him that rod from the very beginning. And the Lord instructed him what to do. Stretch forth that rod over the sea. And the next thing you know, a parting of the Red Sea. Nothing like that ever happened before. But he did. You know, what was in his hand is what exactly God used. We talked about the story of the, you know, multiple times when Jesus needed to, I mean, people around Jesus had followed him sometimes for days. Then there was no food to eat and they were about to send them away. And Jesus said, don't send them away. Give them to eat. And the disciples said, look, where are we going to find enough food for these thousands of people, even if it were for them to just get a little bite? I mean, and even if we could, where are we going to get, have that money to buy for all of these? And then Jesus said, look, what do you have? They looked around and found by that time, everybody had exhausted whatever they packed along with them because they'd been with him for days. But there was a little boy, perhaps he just joined the crowd. And he still had his sack lunch, a little lunch bag that maybe the mother packed for him. Mother, can I go? Can I go? He said, be careful now, but hey, come. Take a little something with you. But the boy was so enthused with all the excitement, he hadn't even eaten his lunch. He offered it up, though. And then they said, but what is this among so many? And the Lord said, it is enough. See, whatever you have is already enough with the Lord. All you got to do is put it in his hands. And by the inspiration of the Almighty, we talked about that yesterday. And we heard testimonies around that too. Job chapter 32 verse 8. You know, wisdom doesn't always come from, you know, great men and all of these things. You know, sometimes we acquire some wisdom because of age and experience through life. But that's not always how it comes. But there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. But when the Lord puts it back in your hands, he will also put that inspiration in your heart. And the Lord blessed, he looked to heaven and blessed the two loaves and five fishes. And I called this out yesterday that look, you know, they had to trust in the working of the miracles. Now, that's working of miracles. You know, people wonder what working of miracles is. Well, working of miracles is, you know, exactly that. Where you can take a piece of bread and keep giving it out and it keeps multiplying. But Jesus, he put it back in the hands of the disciples. That was the one thing we called out. Jesus wasn't the one that fed the multitudes. He just blessed the little boy's lunch that they gave him. Two loaves, five fishes. That's all. Blessed it, break it, gave it to each of those disciples. But he gave them commandment too. Cause the multitude to sit down in companies and then go around and serve them. Yes, serve them. Don't send away. Serve them. And as they were serving the people, yeah, they had to obey and do exactly what the Lord said. And as they were did, the bread, the pieces of fish was multiplying in the hands of the disciples, not in the hands of Jesus. The thing, nothing multiplied in his hands. He just put a blessing and just break it into 12, which is easy to do. Take a piece of loaf, break it into 12. That's easy. Broke it there and gave it into their hands and let them, you know, send them forth. Same thing with the fish. That was easy. And Jesus left that part of the increasing and the multiplication and the continuous supply He left it to happen in the hand of the disciples for a lesson for us. That when you put and you return the thing that God already gave you, that's already in your hand, when you give it back to God and he puts a blessing on it, he's going to put it right back in your hands for you to go do something with it. Praise the Lord. And when you do something with it, that's when the increase will come. So the blessing of the Lord is already there. It's kind of like in the beginning, God blessed the earth and he blessed, you know, fruit, you know, and trees having seed in themselves. And he blessed them and said, look, let every seed bring forth of its kind and this and that. And he just put a blessing on it and God's done. Once he says that, it's done. Now you can now take the seed and go and sow it. And the word that God spoke from the beginning, the Bible says he spoke, hallelujah, and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And so that word that he spoke from the beginning, that's the same way it would be. But you must do what he said. We spoke about the story of Elijah when he appeared before Ahab and the corrupt land of Israel at the time with all the prophets of the groove and so on and so forth. And before he did all of that, he told them that, look, you know, we're going to cause you to be afflicted. Perhaps during your affliction, you will cry out to the Lord. So he said, there will be no rain for the next, however long it will be, until I give word again. There will be no rain except by my word. And the Lord shut up the heavens. I mean, this man, Elijah, he can take the key, lock it up, put it in the pocket and walk away. And he did exactly that. Powerful man of God, he said, because I stand in his presence. Now, but the Lord instructed him what to do. Elijah, go get thee up and go to the brook Cherith. And I have commanded the ravens there to feed you. And then the Bible said, and he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now, you must do according to the word of the Lord. That's how the Lord brings the blessing. We also brought out the fact that, you know, when God told Noah to build the ark, all that the Lord gave him was intelligence, super intelligence. Well, I don't think I used that term yesterday, but God gave him super intelligence, inspiration of the Almighty, what to do, where to find the timber and so forth. God didn't build the ark for him, but God showed him where to do it and how to do it. Gave him instructions, gave him measurements, gave him schematics and, you know, engineering draft and everything of how he's going to build it. But God didn't build it. You know, Noah had to build it himself, you know. And but God will tell you and he will show you what to do. Not that God can do it, but, you know, he wants you to be a partner in the process. Same thing when he gave Moses instructions of how to build, you know, the tabernacle and so on. He gave him precise instructions, but God's not going to build it. Tell him where to find and give him inspiration and understanding of where to find the materials. But God's not going to build. You are going to have to build. Now, God's going to put a blessing in what's already in your hand. You know, and then he'll put it back in your hands and you're going to have to do it. That's how you make the crooked places straight. It will remain crooked as long as you're trying to do it all by yourself. You may stumble, you may go up and down and so forth. But when you turn it over to the Lord, he'll put a blessing on it and he'll give you inspiration. Now, that's the shortest path to where you want to go. He'll put you on a straight line. Make straight feet. I mean, path for your feet. Now, these are the things that the Lord said he would do. Isaiah 40 and verse 4 and 5. Every mountain, hallelujah, shall be brought low. And the valleys shall be filled. Well, even the crooked places shall be made straight. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in your life. You know, all flesh shall see it. My goodness. And they will bless the name of the Lord. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough places shall be made plain. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. And he does it like nobody else can. But we must follow the instruction exactly as he gives it. You can't, if he tells you to do this or that, if you don't do it exactly right, it may not come out, you know, right. But when you follow that instruction from the Lord, and then we began to pray over the room, and there were powerful prayers that were released. And the one thing that I want to say to everyone here today also, whether you were here yesterday or not, is that, you know, there is a time that God calls for certain things. You know, although at any time we can reach out to the Lord by faith and get anything from the Lord, that's always there. However, at different times, he may call for certain things. You know, that's why sometimes when we come into these rooms, you know, you don't always know what to expect, because the Lord may call for something. And yesterday was such a day that the Lord called for exactly that. And we received some powerful testimonies. And the Lord, you know, I mean, encouraged us, I believe. And I want to give an encouragement to everyone also again today that listen, yes, you may be facing some crookedness right now. You know, whenever you find the rocky road, the bumps, the turns and twists and so forth, instead of a smooth journey, well, more than ever, that's when you need to turn to the Lord. Well, if you turn to the Lord from the beginning anyway, maybe it'll be smoother. But the devil is always out there. You know, the Bible says in the book of Zechariah, he said, the Lord showed me, you know, Joshua, the high priest. This is Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Joshua, the high priest, standing before the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. You know, that this is something, you know, that, I mean, I didn't give this scripture yesterday, but, you know, it's something that's always happening. A devil is always there, trying to resist whatever you're doing, especially after he gets wind of it. Once you reveal the thing, that's why don't tell the devil what you're doing. You know, that's between you and the Lord. Devil can't read your mind. You know, and so people go and submit their palms to palm readers and try to figure out what's in that those fingerprints. That's coded. Only the Holy Spirit knows it. But they'll use a seance, they'll use the peeping spirit and muttering spirit to try to confuse, you know, those who are ignorant. And the child of God should never do that. Because according to the book of John chapter 3 and verse 8, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he said, the wind, you know, the wind blows where it listed, wherever it wants. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going until it's passed. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. The devil can't, you know, he can divine, he can decipher your life. But he'll listen in. He can eavesdrop. You eavesdrop. So once he figures out what you are trying to do, he will try to resist you. Powerful scripture in Zechariah 3 and 1. It says that the Lord showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. He's always there. Once you reveal your plans, the enemy will try to discourage you, foul it up, put fear in your heart, and so on. Jesus himself, when he began to tell the disciples, you know, how that the Son of Man must go, you know, Jerusalem and, you know, be before the priests and this kind of thing and all that they must do to him, and how that he will be killed and raised again the next day and so, third day and so on. You know, the devil got inside of Peter, tried to dissuade him. You know, be it far from you, Lord, that you could do this thing, you know. And, but the Lord, he recognized that the voice of the devil had gotten inside of Peter, trying to discourage him from what his mission was. And he rebuked it. Peter, get behind me, Satan. That's right. You know, but that was because he revealed his plans. In the moment you reveal your hand, God only, you know, unlike us, God can reveal his hand all day long. In fact, he does exactly that. He tells the things that he's going to do before he does them, because he has the ability within his word for the word to sustain itself. Now, we don't. You know, so you got to be very careful, because once the devil eavesdrop on that thing, he will try to mess it up. Once the devil heard that Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. Say, other side? No way. I'm going to bring all kinds of storms, all kinds of tempests against the boat. I'm going to try to, you know, capsize the thing, kill you out here. You're not getting to the other side, because the Lord revealed the plan. And once he spoke the word, and the devil would try to go and foul it up. But Jesus knew that that word would sustain itself. Devil may try, and he will try. If anybody thinks that just because God promised something, you know, you can just sit back and you are going to get it, you've got another thing coming. Because that devil, the moment you embark on that path, that straight path, devil's going to come against you to try to make it crooked. Yeah, that's what he does. Jesus acknowledged it himself. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So Jesus acknowledged. It's what he does. You know, and once he knows that you've gotten in the boat with the Lord to go to the other side, you know, the Lord will take them through a straight path. A devil will come out against you with, the wind, topsy-turvy, everything, trying to, just trying to come against that purpose of go to the other side. You know, but if you truly understand how the word of God operates, which is what Jesus was trying to teach us in many of these instances that we read in the Bible, he spoke the word and then he just went and took rest. You know, you take your rest. The word of God is working. But the others panicked because they didn't understand the Lord. They didn't understand his word. They didn't know that he's able to take them through that storm. You know, so you're going to get to the other side, not because there will not be a storm, not because, you know, the shipmaster knows how to navigate. No, you're going to get to the other side because Jesus said so. That's it. You know, whether the shipmaster knows what to do or not, whether there is a storm or not, storm, it doesn't matter. In fact, even though there is a storm, even though there was a storm coming, which Jesus knew, didn't make any difference to him, we're just going to slip through it. Now, if we have that confidence, and when you put that thing in the hands of the Lord, put that journey in his hands. He's in the boat ain't sinking. Put that journey in his hands, trust him, and he'll make your path straight. Now, there may be things that are crooked, you know, in our lives at the moment. There may be confusion. There may be all kinds of other things. You know, there may be, it looks like we're in the dark sometimes. Dark is when there is no light. The light comes from God's word. You know, when he said the entrance of your word gives light. When you can't hear from God, the days when you don't hear from God, then it seems as if you are in the dark. I've often told people, remember what he told you when you are in the light, you know, and hang on to that word. Finances, relationships, emotions, walk with God and different things, you know, up and down and so forth like that. This is the way life is. But God gives us the grace through the strength of the Holy Spirit as we put it in his hands. Hallelujah. Straighten things out. The woman came to the prophet. This was another story we told. My husband was a man that feared the Lord. Now he's gone. And he was the only breadwinner. And we have nothing else. Now we could not pay our bills. We've not been able to pay our bills because my husband's gone. And creditors are coming to take my sons to be slaves, take them away from me. I lost my husband. Now I'm going to lose my son. I'm about to lose everything. And she cried out to the man of God. And Elisha said, well, you know, what do you have? See, that goes back to the same thing. What do you have? And the woman thought about it for a minute. She said, well, I don't have really anything but just a little pot of oil that I have left in the house. That's all. We're down to just that one thing. And Elisha said, it is enough. Glory to God. You know, what you have, the beginning of your miracle is already in your hands. Just have to discover it. And he sent her back. Well, here's what you are going to do. But remember, she had to do exactly like the man of God said. Now, here's what you're going to do. You know, and he gave her instructions. And so she went and carried out according to the word of the man of God. And she said to her sons, go borrow a vessel from all our neighbors and borrow not a few. Get everything you can find. And just tell them we'll bring it back in a few days. And so they went and brought. And, you know, she shut herself, like, you know, in the room, like the man of God said, and said, bring me a vessel. And, you know, one of the sons brought it to her. And she poured out. And, you know, when it was full, she set it aside, just like the man of God said. And she poured out. She said, bring me another vessel. And she poured out again. And in the meantime, see, it wasn't happening in the hands of the man of God. It was happening right in her hands. The man of God just put a blessing on it. You go do it. Follow the instruction. That's it. And he was done with his part. He just walk away, go do something else. Go bless somebody else. But this woman now has to carry out some instructions. And the increase is now happening in her hands. And this is how it works. And so every single last vessel that they brought, she was able to pour out of that same small pot, and the thing just would not, you know, run out. Until she said, bring me another vessel. And her son said, we're out. Now, when the oil heard that, then the oil stayed. See, as long as the oil heard, bring me another vessel, and say, right away, mom. And they brought it. The oil continued to increase and pour out. And when the oil heard, well, there's no more vessel. And then the oil stayed. See, because everything that God creates hears his word. Everything. Hallelujah. You have to understand that. And if from that day till now, if somehow those sons had figured out how to continue to bring more vessels until now, after all those hundreds of years, or maybe even thousands, it will still have continued to flow. They stopped only because they said, there's no more vessel. We're out of pots. All right. So as long as you keep on believing God and keep on, you know, doing and following the instruction, God's continuous supply, once he has put a blessing on it, He has made and turned around the crookedness. Now you're on a straight path to success and to celebrations. Now, so these are the secrets that we must learn. And we talked about some of these yesterday. And how does all of that relate to, you know, God making crooked things straight? Well, this is how. The straightness is for you to get from point A to point B. And that's the shortest distance. The crookedness is when you go all over the place. Instead of going straight towards your goal, all over the place. Because again, it could be lack of wisdom, it could be lack of understanding, it could be disobedience to God's instructions, or it could just be just any number of things. Or the devil just fighting you, causing you to go off track. But when you come back, put it in God's hands. He will give you discernment, wisdom, and inspiration. And it will get you straight there. Now, yours may be a different thing that you are believing God for. To build. I mean, when somebody is faced with, a distressing situation, maybe in a family, maybe this or that, maybe a health issue, all of these things make our lives to be crooked. You know, when you should have been going on a straight path, now you have to go here, you have to go there, you have to seek this doctor, you have to do the other thing, and so on. So it's now up and down all over the place. God will bring that back and make it straight. Make straight your paths. You can think about anything that is crooked, that is chaotic at the moment. When that Holy Spirit began to move, the earth was without form and it was void. There was chaos all over the place. God doesn't like that. He brought order out of that chaos, made everything smooth again. Thank you, Jesus. So the Lord will make it smooth for you. Now, that's the summary of the lesson from yesterday. I don't know that it was exactly what I said yesterday, because that's hard to duplicate. But I did that again today because the replay was messed up. So, that's it. And now I am going to release the room to those who want to share. And one of the things that I often say is share, as you know. And the moment you are declaring it, in fact, when you are declaring something with your mouth, it also helps your spirit. Remember, the mouth is where it's at. That's why the Bible says, this book of the law, this word shall not depart out of your mouth. You know, that's so powerful. You got to say. In fact, God himself used his mouth at the beginning. For everything that he did, he had to use his mouth. You know, we read in the account in Genesis, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let the this and this be that. And God said, let there be a gathering together of the waters. And God said, let the dry land appear. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And God said, and God said, and God said. Hallelujah. Use his voice. Even the man himself, even though God used his hands to form the man, he first spoke it. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So the voice always went forth. So it's so powerful that we must know how to use our words right. Jesus taught it to us in Mark 11. He said, look, if you can say to the mountain, that's the first thing. And then, well, after you say, there are some other things that you must follow through. Once you have said it, you must not doubt what you have said, but you must believe that what you said will come to pass. Then Jesus said, well, you have whatsoever you said. Well, why then do we not have whatsoever we say? Well, analyze that scripture. You know, maybe it is because one, you know, we are saying it, but not believing it or doubting it. But Jesus said, look, if you can say it, now, of course, you can't say something that the Lord never said. We talked about that multiple times. Lamentation 3:37. Who is it that saith anything and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So you can't just go out there and say anything. But if it's within the realm of what God has already commanded, which means you find it in the word, then you say it. But when you say it, you cannot afford to doubt it. Once you doubt it and stop believing, or you have a double mind, Bible says a double-minded man is not stable in all his ways. Let him not think he will get anything from the Lord. Once you doubt that, then you're not going to get anything. So if we are able to make that happen in razor sharpness with precision like that, you know how to say what God has already said, and you know how to keep your heart and guide it from being doubtful, and you know how to instruct your spirit and mind in continuing to believe the word you already spoke, then you shall have whatever you say. That's it. That's the rule that the Lord put out there. And that rule will sustain itself all the time if we do it right. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, that's our lesson today. I was actually going to do something today, you know, because it was the beginning of this new month. Because the beginning of this month, I had something lined up. But I thought I would just, as a courtesy for those that wanted to listen to the replay yesterday, and there was a glitch in the replay where everywhere I spoke, there was nothing recorded. And I thought there was a, might have been a setting, this has happened before. And, but I, you know, I don't know. Reported it to, you know, Clubhouse. They said they will try to look into it. But I thought because of all of that, the benefit of those who missed that, I would come back and just give a quick roundup of some of the things we talked about. Like I said, can't duplicate it exactly. But so that's why I did this room today, this way. So thanks be unto God for his promises, the assurance that if we put it in his hands, you see, whatever we put into his hands, he will bless it, put it right back into your hands for a blessing. And that you have to walk with that blessing in order to make the crooked things straight. And that's our lesson today. God bless everyone that's listening in. Now I am going to turn it over for you, to you, to make, give your reactions or give your declarations. And as we do that, you may help someone else, and the Lord will bless all of us together. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.